This podcast has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. That's right, Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too.
Bullfire!
That's right. I drink all the Hennessy you got on your shelf, so let me introduce myself. My name is B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. the Canadian Controversial Negro, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Lebanon. See what I did there, returning listeners? I winged it. I remixed. Before recording, I was listening to Do What You Like by Digital Underground. Do the hump, the hump. And his intro, I drink all the Hennessy you got on your shelf, so let me introduce myself. Yeah, in my case, I'd be drinking Crown Royal, support Canadian businesses. What's that Japanese whiskey? Focus, Be Black. Right. But my point is, yeah, I remixed it. Just a little remix for the kids. You know, I got to keep shit fresh. Got to keep it fresh. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I did it. All right. Today's date is August 23rd, 2026. Had 19 earlier because I was supposed to record last week. Sorry, I'll get to that. So August 23rd, 2026, and we are at episode 362. Yay! And in today's episode, we will be talking about a recent moment where I patted on myself for... What's that word? For demonstrating. There we go. Demonstrating growth and self-acceptance. Yay! On this podcast, we like to acknowledge accomplishments, small or big. And this is me leading by example. So with all that said, before we get to that moment of growth and self-acceptance, we're going to start with some quotables and some randomness. I'm having a moment of feeling like I'm getting better at recording these things. You would think episode 362, but yeah. All right, quotables. Let's start. Today's quotable. Oh, wow. I'm not making excuses. Just because I'm realizing that everything that is written was written for an episode that was supposed to be recorded on Wednesday, but they didn't do that. You know what? You didn't need to hear all that. But all right, so today's first quotable. The first one goes, growth begins when you learn to correct yourself before blaming others.
Message!
I like that one. I didn't realize it was growth, but... I shortly after reading the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, especially to the first habit of be proactive and doing shits like taking responsibilities for your actions. It was then and there that I realized or had a paradigm shift. I changed the paradigm and I got out of the habit of blaming my relationship woes, my relationship failures on the opposite sex, and put the blame all on myself. Problem with that is then excuse me, put it all on myself. So I'm saying is, ladies or men and women, but a sign of growth. If you meet someone, especially a man, who when you say, "Why are you single?" and his first answer, at the first response, first word. His response is, "Oh, bitches ain't shit." Yeah, growth. That ain't a sign of growth. And actually, oh my God, I'm just realizing that I recently had a friend who gave me the equivalent of bitches ain't shit, except he was stuck on the, well, the good old days, bitches were, whatever, one of those. But in the moment, I didn't catch, I didn't like, because we're friends, so I didn't lecture him on it. But I was trying to get him to realize that you can't do that anymore. I mean, you can. But the real cause of your problem isn't because of what's out there. It's what, because of what you're looking for. Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. I forgot. This is quotables. But yeah. Anyways, I love that quotable. It connects to today's point. And the last, I only have two quotables. The second one goes, okay, we got to do something a little different on this podcast. So I, this one is in Creole. It comes from a song by Alain Cavé. His song is called Je t'aimerai toujours. And the line, this is, okay, this the line's in Creole. So bear with me to my fellow Haitians. Go easy on me. All right? Creole, moi, ma look. All right, so it goes, I'm going to correct that one. All right. He goes, Même si senti que abraché, chérie, pas qu'à fausseur, rete, sous joint côté de l'eau à plus frais, pito allé. Yo, Alain Cavé says that way better than I just said it. But all right. To translate it for my Anglophone friends, what about our French people? Ah, yeah, deal with it. Right, so it goes, the verse goes, even though I feel like my heart is ripping apart, I can't force you to stay. If you can, what's the English expression? Green pasture? If you can find where water is cooler or water is fresher, just go. Just go. All right. So in this context, just like that, it doesn't make sense. But it is, it's, this one is a quotable because that verse got my attention. And more importantly, it's going to connect to today's final thought or last word. That's right. I'm supposed to change it to last. I'm still working on it. Final say. And yeah. So before we do any of that, I will end quotables, and let's jump to randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. You know, I'm going to just start by, this. I'm just adding a new item. Is okay, first, the first randomness is just to clarify. I realized that I didn't put out an episode last Wednesday. And the first time, so when I first podcast, did this episode, I was doing it on a weekly basis, and then thought, well, I was just overwhelmed by thoughts, and I was having ideas of having a Patreon page, and I decided to record on Wednesday as well. And the beauty about having a Wednesday episode is how it broke up my week, because I would work up to Wednesday, and then, like, I would work up Wednesday for podcast, and then Wednesday to Friday, it just broke up my week. Lately, recording on Wednesday has been a bit of a challenge. Sometimes I'm just not motivated to do it, and I don't like putting out an episode just for the sake of putting out an episode. You know, sometimes it's gotta. But the only exception I make, the what I do commit to is recording every Sunday, and for you putting out an episode either Sunday or Monday throughout the day. That's the schedule. That's the official schedule. So if you do get an episode on Wednesday, it's a bonus episode. All right? Because I was feeling bad not putting out an episode on Wednesday and not putting out a message. And I like to overcomplicate things. But yeah, Wednesday is reserved to maybe I record or maybe I do work relating to the podcast, like writing code, like making my workflow process more efficient and things like that. So all this to say that if you do get an episode on Wednesday, it's a bonus episode. All right. And the other thought I have is what I like about also recording on Wednesday is I used to be a member of the Toastmaster Club, and the club I went to, we would meet on Wednesday. And this is where the tradition comes from. And it was on Wednesday, so that would always break up my week. So I guess I enjoyed having something on Wednesday to break up my week. The other thing too is just to point out that if you've been to a Toastmaster club, I've borrowed a few concepts from there. I enjoyed it, and the two ones that you'll notice is how I start with quotables. For them, it's I forget what they called it. Word something. Or no, just a quote, whatever, right? Like you would start the club and someone from the club would volunteer to share a quote with the rest of the presenter. And sometimes it's also an easy, like if you're a beginner to the club, it's just one of the easiest speech you can do is share a quote, why you like it and everything. But I also enjoyed it because I just enjoy quotables. Quotables are just words worth remembering and whatnot. Song lyrics and whatnot. So it's just a thing that I got. And the second thing that I borrowed from Toastmasters is they have this thing called... what's that thing called? Oh, man, I don't believe I'm... Oh, fuck. What's it called? It's improv session. Oh, I'm going to fix this. It's called... improv table topics. Jesus Christ. All right. I've been smoking a lot of weed, kids. All right. It's called table topics. And then table topics is to practice your ability to give a speech with very little preparation, with no preparation. Like someone will just throw a topic. It's a little like improv, I guess, but someone will throw a topic at you and it's up to you to go up there, present the speech, and you know, give it a proper structure, like an intro, body, and conclusion. But it also practiced you to think on your feet. Another thing it did that I enjoyed from these table topic session, and I don't know if it's just me, I'm sure other people had the same situation, but excuse me, weed does not help me in table topic session. But it's also when you finish your speech, dealing with that voice inside your head after you're done that said, "Oh, you suck. Oh, that was embarrassing. That was so cringe." Or that was like oh my god, that negative feedback voice. What's that word for it? But yeah, that negative feedback that's like crying, yelling at you, saying, "Ah, you fucked up," and also thinking about what I should have, could have said. What's interesting is lately I've been having difficulty dealing with that voice, which is why I've been trying to like script out some of my... There's been episodes that I've done where they've been scripted, and it's only because the idea was so complicated that I felt it needed to be put on paper and then recited. But again, this podcast, it's not just a podcast, it's also an opportunity, a chance for me to practice speaking on the top of my, with little preparation, like today's episode. But I kept forgetting that it's also being able to accept that what you do won't be perfect. Who knows? Maybe I'll change the format of some days, but this is just, you know, just an excuse for me to talk.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. All right, so this is what reminded me of how this was a Wednesday episode, and it's the fact that oh shit, hold on a second, let me just fix this. What I wrote down is I hate how much food has influence on my mood. It's probably, I think if you're ever going on a diet or you've been unsuccessful at dieting, it's what might help is if food is the reason why, if you know, dieting is a problem for you, understanding your relationship with food is what I'm trying to get at. I remember watching this one video, this lady, she was talking about, what was it? I'm not sure if it was a nutrition guide, but they were breaking down the relationship with food, and like shit, like, you know, chew 25 times and just the way you're supposed to eat. But the one thing that she did that caught me by surprise, well, not caught surprise, but I thought that was like a little wow for me, is she said she would get her food, the plate of food would come to on her plate on her table, and she didn't dig in. She would just stare at the food like, this food doesn't control me. I control it. I ingest it when I say to ingest it. And I remember looking at that and being like, what the fuck? Are you nuts? Nah, man. I feel like I have like an instinct of an animal, like a pet. When I see food, I gotta like, excuse me. I'm realizing that I'm self-deprecating at the same time. But yeah, man, no, my relationship with food. And the reason I brought it up is because of the last, on Wednesday I was supposed to record. And I remember being like so pissed off at the world and on the world. And all I did was have like not a Snickers bar, but I had something to eat. And next thing you know, I'm like, oh, the world is great. And yet I still didn't record. But that's not the point. But I did notice how much food has influence on my mood. I have gone on a diet once and there was a time in my life where I was taking shit seriously. I was taking my health seriously. I hired a gym trainer. Sure, I hired the wrong one, but that's not the point. But I remember I hired the gym trainer. I said, how much does it cost? I don't give a fuck. What? I need a blender. What? I need to change my diet. Boom, boom, boom. Anyways, homeboy put me on this diet. And it was at that moment that I realized it's not that I love food. I hate being hungry. During my moment of hunger, I was like, because I had on this strict diet where I was only allowed to eat every 2 hours, but I was eating like small amount of food. And those lats between, like I'm used to, I eat when I want to eat. But not eating when I was hungry was driving me fucking nuts. Nuts. It still does. Look, man, my parents did not immigrate to this developed country so their firstborn could have moments of hunger. Fuck that. They escaped all that. But again, this whole point I'm talking about is your relationship with food, and mine is realizing that, I mean, at first it was hunger, but realizing how much food influences my mood, and that would explain the obesity. Yeah. Am I changing that? No. This is just an observation. I'm not there yet. You know, I think I'm waiting for the doctor to be like, yeah, you got 5 days to live unless you change your... You're a chicken wing away from a casket. Yeah, I'm not changing my ways. I'm like, well, fuck, casket it is.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah, I know a lot of people would have been disgusted by that last admission, but fuck them. It's my goddamn podcast. You know what I mean? Remember, you hit play. All right, so this next item, I put fuck that movie. It's an interesting fuck that movie. This is an emotion that I captured in the moment. Now, there's a movie who deserves a fuck that movie, and that's Young Washington. I didn't watch the whole thing, but the scenes with slaves, there was just the first scene with slaves, there was a reference about slaves, or the first scene with slaves bothered me. Like, I can tell the intended audience for that movie is white people, was a white person who, I'm not racist, but you niggas were better off as slaves. But anyway, so I'm not talking about Young Washington. What's interesting, the reason I wrote fuck that movie, it was a feeling I had, and this is, bear with me, I really want you to bear with me, do not hit stop, right? And I promise I won't spoil it because I really want you to listen to me, right? The movie I'm talking about is the new Spider-Man Brand New Day. Fuck that movie. Why? Not because it was bad. It was a good movie. It was a good storyline. It kept my attention. I don't know how long it is, but the fight scenes were great. There's a few surprises in there that got, like, I'm not a, I get the feeling like comic book nerds were like, oh man, oh yeah, they respected the canon or whatever the expression is. They respected the text. I'm not sure, but I feel like it was well made. I feel like they did a whole bunch of market studies in that movie, and they applied it to this movie. But all this to say, it was a good movie. Why am I saying fuck that movie? I'm not sure. Okay. First line is, I left there wanting to cry, and I have no fucking idea why. I just remember being so angry. It was a combination of wanting to cry, repressing the feeling to cry, and not knowing why. Now, usually I've been in these moments, especially in front of my therapist, and she'll be like, yeah, doesn't matter why, just fucking cry. I think I've made an episode about that, but I can't allow myself to cry. I'm not bragging. I am not showing off. I'm saying that's my malfunction. I can cry, but there's something ingrained in my head that's saying, hey, if you're going to cry, make sure it's in your room and not on the podcast, but I'm, you know, like by yourself. And I do know that I'm starting to believe that repressing the need to cry is equivalent to repressing the need to laugh or sneeze and things like it's natural. But because of patriarchy and a fucked up upbringing, I've managed to program myself. Crying is not great. The last time a Marvel movie made me want to cry was, I guess I could spoil this one, Endgame. That scene where Captain America gets the shit kicked out of him by Thanos and Thanos. And then he buckles up and he's about to fight. This nigga's crazy. He straps his broken shield and he's about to face Thanos and his entire army by himself because he's Captain America. Anyway, so he stands up, and then as he's walking, limping a bit, feeling a bit of pain, all you hear is, Captain, on your left, the voice of the Falcon. What's his name, Mr. Give Daddy a Sandwich? What's his name again? But doesn't matter. Oh, the Falcon character. Captain, can you hear me? And he goes, on your left. And then, boom, boom, boom. And then the circle, yellow circle pops up and T'Challa and his people come out of that circle. And then it goes from, dun, 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 and then all the, but basically, what's his name? Not Captain, the Mirage guy, the fucking, what the fuck is his name? Oh my God. Am I really going to forget his name? Hold on, I'm going to get names right. I refuse to do end games. Hold on a second. Oh, shit. Marvel End Games. I can't rely on my memory, gang. It's I got to use... Holy fuck. What the fuck was his name again? I'm embarrassed. I'm laughing, but I'm really embarrassed at my inability to remember. Man, you know what? I have been consuming a lot of weed. So that's, and I know it fucks up my health. There we go. Dr. Strange. Jesus Christ. I think I need to get a producer. All right. So Dr. Strange. Excuse me. Apparently there's like, you could use AI to use as a co-host, but I don't think I'm there yet. All right, so Doctor Strange. So Doctor Strange does his magic to get everyone that's been like, you know the fucking movie, right? Everyone shows up. Well, that moment where everyone shows up, and especially when Spider-Man shows up. Oh, man. I was fighting. I was at the movie by myself, fighting tears. And I remember looking on the left. I'm like, I'm not crying unless they cry. But my point is, I was repressing tears at the scene of y'all. Well, usually I get the y'all, you know, here's the cavalry, that feeling. But instead, it made me want to cry, and I have no idea why. And it turns out a lot of people had that same feeling. So in this Spider-Man movie, I can't explain, okay, without spoiling it, it's not that there's a sad scene. It's not that it's a sad scene. It's, what did I wrote that? I made a whole bunch of noises. This is me trying to understand why I cried. I wasn't really an avid comic book reader. I probably read 1, 2, 3, a few Spider-Man comic books here and there. But I did know that, fuck, Peter Parker's life is fucking hard. It's a thankless job. And which I understand is the point. This motherfucker is a superhero saving New York. Fuck New York. Sorry for anyone from New York. But saving New York. And this motherfucker's broke. Barely can make ends meet. I'm like, you got all that power. I'm like, man, fuck the city. Fuck the... There's a lot of times where... Spider-Man slash Peter Parker would have been justified to be on like, hey, I feared for my life. That's why I kicked the shit out of this particular person. There's a scene, because there was a lot of, it's funny, there's a lot of scenes in there that I identified with the character. But yes, so Peter Parker's loneliness, there's a scene about, with just to get you started, they address the whole fact that this movie continues off after Peter Parker like had to like erase the memory of his existence, not his existence, from the world, well, from the universe, and his closest people. And so they addressed it, and the way they do it, it's like, I'm not saying that made me cry, but I know that it must have had an influence. And then there's just, I promised I wasn't going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it, I swear, because I hate, but I think it's just the way the movie ended that made me, there's something about it. There's something about it that made me want to cry, but I remember being angry and needing to cry and not crying, and then I took it out on the movie. Another reason why I'm considering not, I'm also considering, like, maybe I shouldn't watch superhero movies, because I've reached an age, I think I'm just getting bitter. I'm getting older and bitter, and there's a lot of, like, you have all that power, and you don't fuck them niggas up. I, prior to seeing the movie, while doom scrolling, I had the unfortunates of watching, of seeing a clip of a video of these, well, first of all, fuck Israel, this Israeli person. When Israel and Whitey, they all go together, by the way, gang. All right, so it was this, it's a video of an Israel, it used to be a trend, apparently it was a trend on TikTok where Israeli would film themselves enjoying cool running water, food, and just a like next to the next panel is a picture, is a video of a Palestinian child trying to get water, like, or just like thirsty, starving, and it's like, it was their way of saying, I am indifferent, or I don't care about the suffering of Palestinian children. It's fucking cruel, man. It's just cruel. So I guess I had saw that video, and I went into the movie thinking about the ills of the world, and then I got this fucking superhero trying to do the quote-unquote right thing. All I'm just to say is, what's his name? Killmonger had the right idea. I guess I can't do it anymore. That childhood innocence that be like, yeah, do the right thing, Superman. Don't, you know, hold back. Like Batman not killing his enemies. It drives me nuts. And I guess that's the point. You got all that power, but you, with great powers come great responsibility. And I'm like, man, fuck responsibilities. Kill them niggas. It was just my need for revenge was overwhelming me and killing my ability to enjoy the movie. So all this to say that I think I'm going to hold back from watching superhero movies because of that theme. But I am, this is not the main takeaway. If you forget everything that I said, I am not telling you not to go see. I'm telling you to go see Spider-Man if that's your genre movie. You know, they did a good job. I enjoyed it more than the previous Spider-Mans. But motherfucker touched me inappropriate in places I did not want to be touched. You know, when I got home, I watched don't ask too many questions, but I watched the movie Mutiny. And it was a sense of relief because in Mutiny, it's a simple action movie. The fucking hero kicks ass and the bad guys get what they deserve. I'm like, bang, bang, kill. Oh, my God. I was cheering. Look. It's a Jason Statham, Statham. Anyways, so it's predictable as fuck, you know? You got the good guys gets disrespected by the bad guy. Oh, and in that movie Mutiny, they make it clear he's a bad guy and why he's a bad guy. And then the good guy fucks, spoiler alert, beats the shit out of the bad guy. It was whatever. But, and it's beauty in it. And there ain't no like, nah, man, no, killing you would be wrong because I would sink to your level. No, fuck that. Blah, 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 blah. Don't fuck with me, nigga. And then roll credits. It was relief. It was a sense of relief. So, no, I'm not telling you to go see Mutant, but I did say it felt relief, gave me a sense of relief after watching Spider-Man.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Ball nigga, why you ain't got no help there? Boy, you looking like a bowling ball. Boy, you looking like a basketball. Boy, you looking like a soccer ball. Boy, you looking like a golf ball. Boy, you looking like a tennis ball. Nigga, haircut tennisism. Haircut falling off the bone. Boy, you looking like a milk dud. Nigga thought he was Michael Jordan. Boy, you looking like Blank Man. Boy, you looking like Lil Bill. Boy, you looking like Wayne Head. Ball nigga. Boy, you looking like Mr. Clean. When your hair girl, you look like Mr. T. When your hair girl, look like Homer Simpson. Boy, your head long like a dill pickle. Boy, your head shaped like an AirPod. Boy, your head long like a curtain rod.
Ball nigga. All right, I don't know who Battle Rap Bum. Let me see if that's the name of the Battle Rap Bum. If the is that it? Battle Rap Bum. I'm sure to see if that's the manager of. Anyway, all right, let me just get to the point. So I don't know who this Battle Rap Bum is, but I do know I was thoroughly offended by that song called Ball Digger. I'm going to make it all about me. Okay, so what just happened is, well, first I played the song because I hope it's stuck in your head like it's stuck in my, like it will be in my head. What's the earworm? And the way this one came across my timeline is in, it's Kev on stage. He, I hadn't noticed, but he shaved his, that helps make me laugh. He shaved his facial hair. And I guess the song is making fun of him. And Kevin Goodspirit shared the songs with the rest of us. And I remember, I'm still laughing. Okay, get it together. Woo! I couldn't be on SNL. All right, get it together. Right. So the song made me laugh, and it's making fun of Kev on stage, and in the comment I just replied with, "I am offended as a fellow bald nigga." But I can't see, but I'm laughing. I wanted to add to it, but I don't like making fun of people. But again, he took it in good spirit, and he just shared the song, and I'm sharing it with you because it's my goddamn podcast. My goddamn podcast. I just realized that this is not a video podcast. So yeah, two things you've learned about, for those who don't know me, about my physical appearance. I'm a beast, and I'm bald.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, on the theme of self-acceptance and growth, I'm just going to play this clip that got my attention. Her name is Monica Murphy.
So yesterday I was telling a longtime friend of mine that I really wanted to go swimming. And she was like, are you actually going to wear that bikini? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, but like, what if people see you? And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, you know, you just had a baby 7 months ago. Don't you want to wear something that's a little bit more like covering? And then she just went on and on and on. And she was like, you know, like maybe this year, just sit on the side with your baby. Maybe by next year, you would have lost a little bit more weight. Like your stomach just looks a little bit different now after having four babies. Maybe this is just the summer for you to like sit on the sideline. And as she was talking, going on and on and on, all I could think about is like, what a bitch. Like, what is she actually saying this? And the funny part is that she doesn't exist. that is just the voice in my head. And if someone was talking to you that way, would you ever hang out with them again? Probably not. So that girl can sit her butt right over there. I'm going to swim.
Go on, girl. Go on, girl. All right. I just realized that I know it's not common for men to gather wisdom from other, that wisdom that women share with each other. So I'm special. All right. As I'm watching this, I just realized that, this is the kind of things that I would shy away from sharing with other dudes, with other people, because they'll be like, what are you doing? But that's not the point. Fuck it. That's not the fucking point. Point is, I was very inspired by her words. Two things. One is, the first one is, I like the plot twist where she says that voice doesn't exist. It was just me talking to myself. Since that video, I've been more mindful about the way I've been speaking to myself, especially when I say things to myself that I wouldn't allow someone to say to themselves or to someone else. It's one of those exercises I was supposed to do a long time ago that was advised by my therapist. But this was the first time where I'm like, hey, let me be mindful of it. I'm not trying to repress thought, but it's more understanding, why the fuck are you so mean? And the short answer is, part of it feels like I deserve it. But anyway, that's another journey. That's another cross that bridge when I deal with it, right? But yeah, second thing. I was actually self-conscious about sharing this message, not because, it's from a woman sharing wisdom to other women. It comes from the subreddit, just gals being chicks. It's more the fact that I'm about to share wisdom that I am not ready to apply on myself. I mean, on my last trip, I did wear, it took me a while to to put on a bathing suit. And like I mentioned, I'm a fat dude, a fat bald dude. But it's my biggest self-conscious. The one thing that I'm very self-conscious of still is, let me ask you, is it okay for a man to wear a shirt that shows their nipple? Think about it. Is it okay? Because in my mind, it doesn't feel okay. And I'm not going to wear a bra, but I'm self-conscious of the fact. Well, I mean, as a child, I had the doctor call it breast tissue. That's what it's called. On the playground, it was called tits. You got bitch tits. Whatever, right? But, yeah. So I have, what's the word? Breast tissue. And there's certain shirts, I usually wear my shirts baggy, but there's certain shirt that I guess is too tight. It's a little tight on the chest, and it exposes, and it makes it very evident that, this nigga's got bitch tits. So I'm self-conscious about that. Like, I have this nice shirt that I don't wear because it looks like I got nipples. And it makes me feel like I feel like I need to wear a bra. But all this to say that I think this is my, she can wear the bathing suit. I'm the one who needs to, I have a dream that one day I'll be wearing that shirt and being like, fuck what the world has to say. Ball nigga, ball nigga, ball nigga.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, good evening.
Hi, how may I help you, sir?
Don't be angry, don't be offended. Okay. I just said, something just told me that I should talk to you.
Okay, I'm all ears, man.
Are you a boy or you a girl?
I'm a boy.
You're a boy.
Yeah.
Why is your hair like this?
I'm a model.
You're a model?
Yeah.
But you know that this thing that you are carrying on your head now is hairfire.
Hairfire. It's just natural hair.
It's just natural hair. Yeah. Are you a woman? Even women do not even leave their hair like this. I'm from the Campus Sisters Fellowship. Do you attend fellowship?
I go to church.
Which church?
Harvesters.
Harvesters.
Yeah.
And they allow men carry their hair like this to church.
I don't think keeping my hair.
Did they not tell you that men like this that carry hair, they will go to hellfire? Did they not tell you in your church?
My church preach love. They don't preach.
They preach
hellfire.
Love. They don't preach hellfire. The Bible did not tell you that we cannot continue in sin and hope that grace abounds. You people be using an excuse that God is looking at your hearts. My brother, you are not a woman. You are a man, and act like a man.
Okay, sorry.
Stop. Go and cut this thing from your head. It is not good.
Thank you, ma'am.
It is not good. Change your ways.
Thank
Change
you.
Your ways.
You're embarrassing
it is
me.
Not good. I'm embarrassing you. I will tell you the truth.
I'll cut it.
Yo, she was mad. She was angry. All right, so just to give you some context, the quote goes, hold on a second. The quote, a religious woman saw me and had something to say. And the person saying me, oh, wow, I just noticed he's wearing a crucifix. So it's a, excuse me. It's a good looking man. It's a beautiful, you could look, you see him, he'll be like, oh yeah, he models. That's what, but not like, I mean, beautiful, like, not like Cock Diesel manager. Like he's, you have to, link will be in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. Right. But I am trying to say that, yeah, if you ask me a beautiful man, I'll be like, yeah, this dude right here. All right. So his hair, he's got like I don't know if Lord Jesus perm. Like if Jesus came back as a black man, that's the kind of perm I expect him to have. So, and he's got like the sourcils foncés là. Comment ça, sourcils foncés? The eyebrows. Or the, again, links are in the show, you got to see it, right? And and the whole time the camera is just on him. So he kindly, up to him, I would have exposed her, but he left the woman out of the shot. Or maybe he was just recording himself, and this chick out of this crazy religious chick comes out of nowhere. What I like is how she starts with, don't be angry. I'm sorry, I'm not going to try to do her accents, but don't be angry. I'm going to say something that's going to piss you off, but please don't be angry. That's how Christians do. And a homegirl just goes off about his hair, and he goes, do you go to church? And he goes, yeah, I do. And they teach love at my church. And she loses it. Your fucking church lets you go out like that? Anyway, I think she reminded me a lot of that woman I told you about in the previous episode who on the long list, who tried to sell me on going to a talk by Paula White. Donald Trump's, she was gonna give me the same speech she gave to that guy. She was about to give me the same speech to why I shouldn't let the news media convince me that Donald Trump is a bad person. One of those crazy Christian women, whatever, right? And I'm used to that street preaching. Like, I'm gonna, like, this is, what's that word? Nothing but Christian hate. What's that saying about Christian hate? There's nothing more loving than Christian hate. Or is it no bigger hate than Christian love or something like that. But anyway, my biggest thing is watching this video was I kept wondering, like, I understand, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying I understand the logic. I could recreate the logic. I understand how a man can justify to themselves their hatred of gay men or men who quote unquote don't ask, live up to the standard of masculinity. I get it because it's a trigger. They're like, they're repressing the fact that if I was free, I would engage in sexual relations with you. But because I'm repressing it, I'm angry. Kind of like me and when I left the theater, repressing the need to cry. Anyways, but it shocked me that it came from a woman. And the whole reason I'm playing this clip is to ask you, the listener, do you think it's possible that woman who got angry at this beautiful looking man, I this is my theory. I think she wanted to fuck. She wanted to have sex with this guy. But she was upset at herself for what attracted to this man. So instead of her confronting those feelings, she's out here cussing him out, telling him, yeah, you're going to hellfire. It was so fucking funny. She's making a fucking spectacle of herself in public in the name of Jesus. But yeah, what's your opinion? Do you think that's her motivation? Is she was repressing all that sexual desire and it came out as biblical verse and how he's going to go to hell unless he cuts his hair? Let me know.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. This is it for quotable and randomness. Let's jump to time for final say. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break. All right, I am back. I am back. I listened to while rereading the lyrics. Excuse me, re-listened to the song "Je t'aimerai toujours" by Alain Cavé, and I while reading the lyrics and inspiring myself to what I want to talk about. But before I share what I want to talk about, let me play the clip or part of the clip that inspired today's thought, or the thought for today's episode.
I have been in a 6-year relationship, and I feel that he lacks masculinity.
Examples.
Recently, a guy touched me inappropriately. He was there, and I did tell him, and he did nothing. His nice guy act is causing him not to be a leader. How do I tell him that this is unattractive? And if he does not change, I will leave.
How did that guy?
Nice guy leader. Nice guy. His nice guy act is making him not be a leader. I need context.
For example, like if the roof is leaking, I have to find a plumber, or like just things that I feel like a man should do. I don't know. Like just leave.
Oh, okay. Let me get Trill involved real quick. Trill. She is it reasonable for a woman to lose some type of respect for a man that will allow her to get touched in public without doing anything about it?
You said touched or text?
She got touched in person.
Touched.
I think that is very interesting to hear women constantly try to define what a man and masculinity is. I think there are different types of leadership, and I think we've been programmed to believe hyper-masculinity or over-masculinity is masculinity. Sometimes the best thing to do is analyze this situation and get us home safely, right? There are a lot of men right now locked up because of the pressure of a woman putting on him in an unreasonable situation. Hey, I want you to crash out behind me. Now, again, I'm not saying just let your girl get touched and different things like that, but I think we got to break down, like, what is his mindset? So when you asked him why he didn't do anything, what did he tell you?
But basically, you said kind of like, I didn't want to cause a scene, but we still stayed. We never left. So I just didn't feel protected, basically. Like, and this wasn't the first time. Like, it kept, like, other, it just wasn't the first time. Just standing up for me and feeling protected, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so then my next question would be, how did he get into that position anyway to be your man? If you've never felt protected, this isn't a one-time thing. You said this is a repeated thing. This has happened a lot of times, and he's still your man. So if you don't feel protected, that's not the man for you to be with. You understand what I'm saying? Right. That's not necessarily saying that, because again, there are different reasons why a man may react in that situation. I know dudes who, if a dude look at his girl the wrong way, he'll crash out and tear the whole room up. And a lot of times we've been programmed and raised to believe, hey, that's what masculinity looks like. And no, that's what stupidity looks like.
Right.
So again, you got to be able to analyze the situation. I got a homeboy who was walking this girl down the street, and there was 4 dudes standing on the corner. Somebody says something slick to his girl, like, damn, she got a fat ass. His girl got mad at him, right, that he didn't do nothing. So they arguing on the way to the car. He go to the car, go get a gun, and come back and shoot 2 of them. Wow. Now he in jail for the next 20 years, wow, right? Because he's trying to listen to what she deems as masculinity. No, you got to analyze the leader. Part of being a leader is sometimes making an unpopular decision so we can get the hell home. So again, there are different types of leadership. If you want a man that's going to, hey, I'm going to, hey, lead.
All right, I'm just so I can keep it focused. It's gonna be hard for me. Is I am going to focus on the part of this clip. All right, okay. I'm making a decision here, an editing decision. I'm gonna play the whole full 3 minutes of the clip, but I'm going to focus on her initial question about what she said about leadership.
I have been in a 6-year relationship.
Okay, I'm going to focus on her question, her initial question. I'm not going to criticize her. My first thought, my first response when I saw this, when I heard this, was I would rather get dumped by a woman for not living up to her idea of what masculinity is. I would rather she end the relationship however way she needs to. Then she goes on some panel talking about, yeah, my man's a bitch and whatever. and I think this is 2 things. Okay, first let me acknowledge the moment of growth and self-acceptance was when I said that to myself. And while thinking about how I would rather she left, I was reminded by that song by Alain Cavé. And the verse, the song, the part of the song that got the most of my attention is the one that I put in quotables. And I said, même si son cap raché, look, the song does it better justice. But even though my heart feels like it's going to rip, I can't force you to, baby, I can't force you to stay. If you can find better pastures, heck, go there. Pito Ali. And the song just ends where, Pito Ali. I can't accurately translate what Pito Ali means, but it's the equivalent of you're better off leaving. I'm sure there's a Haitian that could better try. But it's the idea is you're better off going somewhere else. Pito Ali, especially that it's just so smooth. It's recited. And I heard the song first. And I said, Pito Ali. I never felt like I had an example of where I'd be able to say to a girl, just go. You're not going to find it here. And I'm thinking of, is it New Edition? Yeah, New Edition has a song because I could do without it. It's a song about, oh, first come, first serve. It's the way some do it, but I shop around. What? The younger version of me would have been offended by this woman for expressing her need in a man. I would have been offended. I would have, on behalf of all masculinity, I'm every man. Anyways, yeah, I am offended. Shut her mic up. And this is what happens when prayers are taken out of school. Whatever. Because I knew so much back then. I was so full of wisdom. But yeah, I would have taken offense to what she said. But I love this interaction, the conversation. I love that the dude didn't cuss her out. It was pretty much, look, man, you need to come to terms with the kind of man you have and accept him. Decide, is he for you or not? These are one of those things I wish I would have understood as a youngster, especially going for a relationship, because I used to think the worst thing that you can happen that could happen to you is either getting dumped or dumping someone else. While oblivious of the fact that you're dating, again, these things weren't explained to me. These are things that I'm just figuring out later. It's like, oh, wow. I want to say it's too late, but nah. At my older age, things I'm figuring out is the point of dating is to just to see how compatible you are as a person, as a couple. And if you're not compatible, go your separate ways. No harm, no fouls. But all the breakups I've seen, I've experienced, they were always ugly. It was always bad. That person was a terrible person. And they all got behind. What? You got dumped? Everyone? It's rare. It was always rare in my situation for someone to break up with someone and not look like the villain. But in this particular case, she would have been, if it was me, if that was my girl at the time, I would rather for her to say, hey, let's just end it. This is not working out for me. Granted, I mean, I won't lie. My feelings would have gotten hurt because I made all these assumptions. But at some point, I would have the kind of maturity, well, maybe not then, but now I'd have the maturity to be like, it's Pito Ali. I think it's going to be the title of today's episode, just so I can have a title in Creole. Pito Ali, you're better off leaving. And what I like about that Ale Cave song is, well, the song is about how I'm going to still love you. You don't like me. You have, like, you know, you can't reciprocate what you feel for me, but I would rather you just bounce than, look, if you can't go all in, then I would rather you go your separate. It's going to break my heart. It's going to kill me. It's going to fuck with my ego. My homies might laugh at me. He doesn't say all that. This is me just projecting onto the song. My homies might laugh at me. I'm going to have an awkward conversation with my coworkers about my girlfriend. Yeah, she dumped me. Why? It was a mutual agreement. Yeah, it was mutual. Well, technically it was. But there's no fucking way I'm saying why, because she thought I was a bitch. There's something about this understanding of masculine. There's something. Look, I think I grew up with this notion that women were like kingmakers. I want to be clear. I'm not telling women that, hey, don't break up with your man. Watch. You need to, be careful about his feelings. This is not what this is about. I'm speaking from my own perspective. But I grew up with this notion, I'm sure I'm not the only one, like women were like kingmakers. When they became your girlfriend, you became a somebody. You were a king. The hotter she was, the greater your kingdom. Bullshit like that. So to have them say, hey, this relationship ain't working out for me. She's just as well saying, yeah, your dick is too small. And, you know, shout out to the women who are like very careful about hurting. This relationship. Relationships are complicated. But in this particular situation, if she was my sister, I would say, I love the response that she got. It's pretty much, look, man, understand the kind of man that you have and do some soul searching and decide whether that works for you or not. But yeah, no, these are one of those things that my younger self would not have understood is, having a woman up there talking about he's not the man and he's manning up for me. Yeah, it fucks with your ego. It fucks with you. It's an easy way to hurt a man's feelings. Again, I am not telling a woman to say not to hurt man's feelings if he's not man enough for you, but it's more like don't drag it on. Don't lead him on type of thing like that. And I want to be clear, I guess I'm putting way too much emphasis on forgetting that it's my podcast. This is one of those points that I wish people understand that this is what I'm saying. I am not criticizing the world or how the world should be, how women should respond. I'm saying, look, man, two people come into a relationship wanting something out of it. Bottom line is, if you're not getting it, walk away. Same goes for both people. Walk away. Stop. Look, don't be in a relationship because you're scared of being alone. That's my new thing. That's my new standard for relationships. I used to allow people to say shit like, oh, that's why you're going to die single. Yeah, let me see what your relationship is about. Let me see if you two are genuinely, or you two are together genuinely out of connection, mutual connection, or you're just a punk who's scared of being alone. There are people like that. They would rather, instead of working on themselves, they would rather use another person to help them from not thinking about the evil shit, all the fucked up, their brokenness. That's all you are. You're just like a way to distract myself from my inner turmoil. And that's why I'm an awful human being to you. But yeah, that's the biggest thing. That moment of realizing that, it's like I'm trying to be kind to the woman. I'm trying to look like I'm being a respectable human being. But yeah, no, those words, I'm not going to say hurtful, but again, stick to the point of I would rather, if that woman had that belief about her man, you're really looking for advice. Like it's interesting how her instinct was, how do I fix that in him? The reason I'm sharing this clip is because I really enjoyed the interaction between those two. Now, I have no idea. Maybe I should be careful about sharing this video because maybe it is a problematic. I don't know who these content creators. That's the thing with content creators on the internet. Every once in a while, they'll say something you like. And me, I'll play it on my podcast and later find out that, oh, these guys are pro-Israel or these guys are problematic or these guys believe in bitches and shit. Whatever, man. It's something. These guys are like gender war. I have no idea. I'm going to share this clip in a vacuum. And with the intention is how listening to her question made me realize the moment of growth, how I'm different from the person I was, from the younger person who used to be, who would have like, see, fucking women, they're shit putting pressure on men to do this and all that. It's, on the flip side, I wonder if the guy's aware that she was disappointed by the way he handled the situation. But whatever. whatever, man. I think, it, yeah, I the part that got me is I don't feel safe. It's not, he doesn't cause her to not feel, it's the dependence on a man for safety. I think that's to each his own, bottom line, to each his own. I'm thinking about being with a woman, and one of my requirements, I need to feel safe around you. No, I'm not worried about you stabbing me. I need to, like, if one of my coworkers fucking with me, I expect you to fuck them up. I mean, I would, you know, like Chung Lee, yeah, Chung Lee. You know what I mean? That'd be great, dating a chick like Chung Lee. I thought of making this into a bit, you know, being in the movie theater and some asshole is kicking my bench, and I can tell my girl's got a short temper, and I'm gonna be like, and I'm gonna get up, and say, y'all, fella, y'all need to cut that shit out. I'm gonna be rude about it, cause I'm, part of me is like trying to warn them, like, yo, you guys are about to awaken the dragon. And on the flip side, I also want to see them get their ass kicked by my girl. But I don't want to, like, then I gotta bail her out from prison, how to find her a lawyer, and things like that. But I'm just saying, it would be an interesting idea. It's an interesting concept of a man relying on a woman for his physical safety. But patriarchy won't let us do that. But anyways, all right, this concludes today's episode. And hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And again, a reminder, if I put out an episode on Wednesday, it's a bonus episode. If I don't, I had my reasons. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And as always, the state of mind is holla if you hear me. If I say something in there that resonated, please, I would love to hear from you. Feedback. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
are you an outcast?
Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.